Philemon 1, verse number 24. And just kind of get the context here. In verse 23, as Paul is closing out this letter to Philemon, he says, "There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus." Now he says, verse 24, "Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers." Tonight I want to deal with that first one, Marcus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Teach us, direct us, guide us into all truth and understanding. We pray, Father, in the blessed Lord Jesus' name. Father, thank you for loving us enough to send your Son for us. And help us, Lord, to love you as we ought. We ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay. Marcus. Paul, in closing this letter to Philemon, he gives greetings, salutations, if you will, in closing up here, from different believers, fellow prisoners, fellow laborers. And one of the ones he mentions here is Marcus. And we know him as Mark also. Just like Lucas, we know as Luke. All right. Marcus, we also know as Mark. Well, who was he? What does the Bible tell us about him? Well, go to Colossians 4. Colossians 4. Colossians 4. Colossians chapter 4. And verse number 10. Colossians 4 and verse 10. "Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him." So he was Barnabas's nephew, which helps explain future events. Okay? Some of the things that happen concerning Marcus, with Barnabas and with Paul, this fact of the relation here, the relationship here, him being his nephew, is going to help us to understand some of the things that follow. Okay? He seems to have had a godly praying mother. Go to Acts 12. Acts 12. Acts chapter 12. Verse 12. "And when he had considered the thing," this was Peter. Remember, those angels came, and the angel came and took Peter out of the prison there, and he's going to the house where they've been praying. It says, "When Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand," out of the hand of Herod, "and from all the expectation of the people to the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." So they were there, Mark's mother's house, John Mark, also called Marcus, they're praying. We would imagine she was partaking of the prayer herself, we would imagine. Her house was being used for that. She seems to have been, she's mentioned there in Colossians, she's mentioned here. We would imagine that she was a godly praying mother. He definitely had a godly uncle who loved him, Go to Acts 12, down now verse 25. Acts 12, verse 25. Acts 12, verse 25. "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." Okay? So took him with him. All right? Go to Acts 13. Acts 13 and verse 13. Acts 13, verse 13. Well, before you go to verse 13, look at verse 1 of Acts 13. "Now when they were in the church," now they were in the church that was at Antioch. They were in the church at Antioch. "Certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon," which was called Niger, "and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So who was called to this work? Barnabas and Saul. They were called to it. But previously, there in Acts 12, we see that they had brought with them John Mark. Again, from the picture we get, seems to be Barnabas' nephew. He was there, and they brought him with him. Evidently, he was a young man who had some desire, had some promise, wanted to be a help, it seems. And they brought him with him. So now in Acts 13, when God calls Paul and Barnabas, and God calls Paul and Barnabas, they're going to leave out for the ministry God has called them unto. All right? But Look it down to verse, look at verse 5. Acts 13, verse 5. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Okay? This would be, again, the John Mark that was just listed up there, just mentioned there in chapter 12. So he's coming along with them to minister to them, be a help to them. Now, has God called him?
No.
God called Paul and Barnabas. John Mark's just going along to be a help. He's going to minister to them. He's going to help them. That's good. It's good. Now, if anything went wrong with that, that's a good thing. All right? But look at verse 13. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia. John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. So, he departed from the work. We don't know why. Perhaps he was lonely. Perhaps he missed home. Perhaps he just wasn't ready for such an undertaking. Whatever the reason, he departed from them. He departed from the work. He departed from this ministry he had. Because he had a ministry. He was ministering unto them. Now, this wasn't a ministry he was called to. He took it upon himself. Because the minister means to serve. He was helping Paul and Barnabas. Maybe helping to run errands for them. Tend to their physical needs. Looking after them. Being a help. And he wasn't called to it. He was just doing it. But he departed from it. Now, listen, don't you understand something? We don't see any divine retribution upon John Mark for this. Because God had not called him to this. All right? He was not being disobedient till a call from God. But he was showing immaturity. He was showing lack of stick-to-itiveness. And lack of... These are things that are going to affect his character. These are things that are going to affect his life, and it's going to be a turning point from him if he'll let it be, and we see that he does. But now listen, but he doesn't suffer any retribution or any chastening or anything because God hadn't called him this. Now listen, if Paul and Barnabas had departed, they're in trouble because a call involves obedience. Your Bible says in the book of Hebrews, Abraham, when he was called to go out from work, obeyed. When God called, again, you've heard me say countless times, the difference between a call and a desire is God may grant a desire, he may not. But if you don't obey the call, you are in rebellion and disobedience. You've got to understand the difference. Acts 13, this is a call from God to Paul and Barnabas. They have to do this. If they don't, they're out of the will of God and there's consequences. Later on, Paul is going to look at Barnabas and say, let's go check on our brethren. Let's go check on the brethren before we pray. Let's see how they're doing. God doesn't call them to do this, but he allows it. All right? Later on, Paul says, we're just going to Asia. The Holy Ghost forbids it. Sometimes God will grant a desire. Sometimes he will say no to it. But when God calls to something, it's a matter of going, what an honor. But that's okay, Lord. No, I don't think so. No, you can't do that. That's what God wants you to do. He's called you to do it. And if you won't do it, you're being disobedient. The Lord may grant a desire. He may allow it or he may not. But a call involves obedience. Now, John Mark, he goes on to help him. But for whatever reason, he turns back from it. Now listen, God didn't call John Mark to this. He volunteered himself. Okay? He didn't get punished for this. But he did get shamed. He suffered loss of confidence. And he served as the catalyst in a wedge between brethren. Do you understand something here? Do you understand something? Brethren, when someone is called to something, I'll tell you what, if you don't follow through with that thing, you're disobedient, you're rebellious. But brethren, when you take on something and don't see it through for a solid, viable, true reason, you are going to be, you might not be punished. You might not be chastened, so to speak. You will be shamed. You will suffer loss of confidence. Others will lose confidence in you. And you possibly can serve as a catalyst in a wedge between brethren. Do you understand this? Do you understand this? Take your Bible, go to Acts 15. Listen, it is important. It is so important. And you young folks get it now that you develop a reputation for sticking to your word, staying in there, and seeing things through. You got to understand that. Man, get that thing established, get it started, build on it to where people can trust in your word. People can trust you. You build up a good reputation that way. And understand that, listen, our actions always have ripple effects that go out in so many directions. You've just got to understand it, and there's no escaping it. And some of the best things to do in life is square up to it, take it for what it is, and get ready to move forward and on from that. But again, what is going to happen to him? There's going to be an element of shame here, loss of confidence, and he's going to serve as the catalyst that's going to serve to separate two close brethren. Acts 15, verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we've preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Now, is God calling them to this? No, he's not calling, but he's going to allow it. It's a good thing. Nothing wrong with it. He's going to allow it. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. So Barnabas was like, it's a good idea, Paul. Yeah, let's go see how they're doing. And let's get John Mark and take him too. You can understand Barnabas' feelings. It's his nephew. Not only is his nephew, but that's just the kind of man Barnabas was. Barnabas' attitude is just, you know, his name is Son of Consolation. And that's so much him. Because listen, when everybody had almost written Paul off, who's going to seek him out? Who goes seeks him out? Who brings him in? That's just Barnabas, right? That's just him, all right? And it's his nephew. But look at this. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. He's like, nah, Barnabas. Uh-uh. Nah, I don't think we need to take him. You know what he did last time? He was a help to us. We were using him. We needed him. He left. Now, again, we don't know why, but let's throw some things out there that could have been that we don't know, though. Barnabas, you know, he got homesick. What are we going to do? Get out there again? He gets homesick again. We got to send him off. You know how worried we were, hoping he'd get back safe. You know, the travels. He was going back. He wasn't going to stay with us. And we were worried about him, hoping he'd get back safe. We had to worry about that along with everything else. We can't take him. Now, he's proved himself untrue. And Barnabas is like, Paul, come on now. You can't. I mean, God's merciful to us, you know. Let's give him another chance. I mean, he's a young man, you know. He's grown some. I can't do it. And these two brothers in the Lord that were a good team together are going to split. Oh, not that there's hatred, not that there's anything. They're going to handle it manfully and right. But there's a split because of a young man who hadn't proved himself true and faithful. Y'all, listen, I'm telling you, you've got to understand the results of your actions. Understand. And if everybody does not behave themselves in situations right and properly, your actions can cause division in people's lives and in churches. Understand that. There's the potential by our actions to cause wedges between churches, between a church and brethren. It could be something like, let's suppose we're getting, you know, here we are, we're getting a fair booth together. By the way, I just want to mention that to y'all. You know, Lord willing, we'll be having a fair booth this year. This year, Lord willing, our theme's going to be Jonah. So we're excited about that. But let's suppose we're getting it together, and let's suppose that I know that Brother Brad and Brother Adam are really heading up some things on getting that together as far as the logistics and all the stuff we're doing there, and I appreciate it. But let's suppose that Adam said, "Well, let's take in a, you know, a JR. I just happened to notice you, son. JR wanted to help out with this thing." And Brad goes, "Now, last year we tried to get JR to help us, and JR said he was going to do this and this when we had the fair booth, and you know, he didn't do it. He didn't do it. He just caused extra work for us, and we had to go and do this. We had to go to that, and we just can't do that." And Adam's like, no, no, no. I mean, I think J.R. really comes up. I mean, he's got older this year and he's done, you know, let's give him a chance. And no, I said, no, huh? That cost us money and time and we don't have the time to get. And look here, guess what's going to happen now? Now, there might be some brethren saying, Adam, I think you're right. You know, I want to give somebody a chance. And I'm saying, no, you know what, Brad's right. We can't be wasting church money or anything. What if he lets us down again, leaves us high and dry, and pretty soon you got some, because of a young man who hadn't proved faithful before. Think about it. Think about that. Think about it. I'm serious. Listen, your actions can affect other people. Your actions can affect other people, and you can serve as the catalyst of division if you're not careful. That's what happened here. Look at what the Bible says, verse 39, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Wow. Listen, take a good look at what immaturity and unfaithfulness cost you and others. Now, from what we can gather, from what it can be gathered, it seems that this incident happened around A.D. 52. Okay? The book of Mark was written sometime between A.D. 57 and A.D. 63. Keep that in mind. Go to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 13. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. This was written around A.D. 60. Philemon's 124, where we just read where Paul sent greetings from Marcus, that was A.D. 62. And then go to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. 2 Timothy 4, 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. That's around A.D. 68. So what I'm saying to you is around A.D. roughly 52 is when that incident happened. And it took some years for Mark to get back to a place to where confidence, trust, and usability could take place. But it did. But it did. So much so that Paul could say later on, bring Mark. He's profitable to me in the ministry. Wow. And Peter had things to say. And God used him to write the book of Mark. Listen, Mark got back to trust and usefulness. But it took a little bit. Steel can lose its temper and get it back. But it has to go back in the fire again. It has to go back in the fire again. I was reading one time about there was a blacksmith, and he was hammering out a piece of metal. And he said, oops, look at that, lost it. He hammered it out, was quenching it. Because see, the part of the key of that steel, that good, true steel, is you got to quench it right. If it's not quenched right, you can mess it up. And what it's got to do at times is go back in the fire. And this time quenched right. And the blacksmith said, I lost it. He said, what do you mean? He goes, I was watching that color and I let it run out too soon. I got to put it back in the fire. Get its temper back. If you lose your temper, and not just anger, but in any kind of way of character, you can get it back, but you have to go back in the fire. And this time, come through it the right way. You understand? It's not going to be a matter of, listen, that blacksmith doesn't just go, oh, let me sprinkle my special dust on it. Now it's okay. No, it's got to go back in the fire. And this time, it's got to be quenched right. It's got to be cooled right. It's got to come out of the thing the right way. It can be done, but it'll have to be that way. Because you know something real interesting. They say that the Japanese had that thing of tempering metal down to such perfection that they have found old samurai swords that they could chop off machine gun barrels with them. Seriously, it's unbelievable. Those things, they had the right combination of hard and soft They say if you make a sword too hard, it'll be brittle. And you can't have a brittle sword in battle. If you make it too soft, then that's not going to be good either. So they needed a sword that had the right combination of a good hard edge, but then a softness that allowed. You needed a combination of both. You know, a believer needs that. You need a good combination of hardness, but softness too. You need both. If you're hard all the time, you're going to break. Or you're hard, but you're going to be brittle. You're going to snap. You're going to break. You're going to be useless. If you're too soft, you're no good neither. It's that right combination. And you know what? It takes going in a fire. It takes hammering. It takes quenching it the right way. It takes all of it. It's not just a process that happens. It takes all those things. They say that Damascus steel and other steel, it's a forgot how many times they fold it back on itself and hammer it and fold it back on itself and hammer it and fold it back on itself and hammer it. I tell you what, this is an undertaking to make something really durable and good. And you know something? To make a believer that's really can stand the test. It takes hardness. It takes softness. It takes fire. It takes quenching the right way. And sometimes it takes going back into the fire again and coming out the right way this time. You can get it back, but it has to go through it again. All right, Mark, let's just face it. He blew it. Mark blew it. People, he brought shame to himself. They lost confidence in him, caused a split between brethren. But to his eternal credit, he didn't quit. He just quietly swallowed real hard and kept going to where later on Paul says, send him to me. He's profitable to me. God used him to write one of the books of the Bible. Peter calls him my son. Listen, God went on with him. It didn't happen the next day, my friend. It didn't happen the next year. It took a bit, but he didn't quit, and it happened. You know what it was? It was part of the making of him. Take your Bible. Go to 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1. Watch this. Now, I want you to notice some of the consequences. 2 Timothy 1, I want you to look at verse 2. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. What did Paul call Timothy? My son. And you know he's not talking about, he didn't sire Timothy. He's talking about he's his son in the faith. All right, go to Titus 1. Titus 1. To Titus, mine own son after the common faith. Paul calls Timothy, my son. He calls Titus, my son. Go to Philemon. Philemon. Verse 10. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I've begotten in my bonds. Wow. Paul calls Timothy and Titus and Onesimus his sons. Mark could not be Paul's son in the faith, but he could be Peter's. Go to 1 Peter again, verse 5, chapter 5. First Peter 5, verse 13. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Isn't that interesting? Paul said about Timothy, my son. Titus, my son. Onesimus, my son. Never said that about Mark. Said he was profitable to him later on. But John Mark couldn't be Paul's son in the faith. But he could be Peter's. Evidently, Mark grew and developed under Peter's ministry. Another man who knew what it was like to prove untrue and let the Lord and others down. What a God. What a good God that if we don't quit, He knows just where to put and how to put us and how to help us. And you know what? Peter calls him my son. And no doubt Peter was able to help that boy. Because Peter's somebody who knows what it's like to let the Lord and others down. Does he not? Peter knows what that's like. Peter knows what it's like to feel those things. Boy, if there's somebody that could help Mark through this time, Right there's a man who can do it. And Peter calls him my son. You know, look here. Go to Hebrews 2 just a minute. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, verse 17. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. The Lord knows how to put us where we need to be if we don't quit. If we don't quit. John Mark is not going to be able to sit under Paul's ministry and be called my son, my son. It's not going to happen. But God's not done with him. The boy ain't quitting. And Peter will call him my son. And boy, I tell you what, I'll say it again. He needs a man like Peter, no doubt, who can understand, who can help him, who can take and say, look, John Mark, you know what I did. I said I wouldn't do it, but I did it. I denied our Lord 3 times. I wonder if they didn't talk about it in tears coming out Peter's cheeks sometimes. I wonder if they didn't. John Mark, that angel, you know what that angel said? John Mark, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter. Oh, how that hurt. And then I was sitting there with Jesus, and 3 times he asked me if I loved him. But I just had to, John Mark, I had to face it. I had to deal with it. But then I found out the Lord wasn't done with me. And he had plans for me. And I had to keep, well, no doubt what a help that had to have been for him. Take your Bible real quick. Go to Philemon 1 again. Don't quit. Don't quit. Brethren, our choices affect us and divert plans. But God can go to plan B. I'm serious. As serious as I can be. And yes, that was a shameful thing, a thing he had to. But he's the God uses him to pin down one of the Gospels. He's profitable to Peter. To Paul. Peter calls him my son. He didn't quit. He didn't quit. Philemon 1, verse 24. Again, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Go to 2 Timothy 4. Paul calls him my fellow laborer. 2 Timothy 4. Again, verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Again, he wouldn't be Paul's son of the faith, but by not giving up, he did become profitable to Paul and became his fellow laborer. The Lord used Mark to write one of the Gospels. What a blessing. Let me say something to you this evening. No, just sum it up kind of here. When you fail, admit it. Amen. Admit it. Blame no one but yourself. When you fail, admit it. Blame no one but yourself. Realize you have given cause for others to be upset and not have confidence in you. They must forgive you, but you cannot expect them to have confidence for a while. That is just reality. And there's no way around it. You understand that? Admit it. Face up to it. Understand that saints have to, must, and should forgive, but there will be a lack of confidence for a bit. Realize that getting back to use and trust from others will take time. Y'all listen. If this don't apply in your life, file it away. You may need it sometime. You may need it. Listen, don't sulk, don't brood. Do go softly and show humility. Walk soft and show humility. Do not sulk, do not brood. Do recognize need of maturity and character. Don't quit, but learn to let God guide you. Learn
learned.
I don't know how much of a man Mark was when we first see him in Acts 12. But I believe he let what happened in Acts 15 be the start of his becoming the spiritual man that he did become. I believe it started then. I do. I think he was a young, untested man there in Acts 12 who had a desire, who had, you know, but he wasn't seasoned. He wasn't, there were some things that had to, and you know what? He let those incidents be the making of him, not the destroying of him. Amen. And the same thing can be true for us. At any time and at any age. Will you keep going? Will you keep going? Without setting a timetable upon anything. Will you keep going? Will you not look to ever point a finger anywhere else? Square up to it. Don't sulk. Don't brood. Keep going. And never underestimate what God can do. What God can do in His way and in His time. But only in His way and His time. Wow. That's one thing about the Bible. It lays it out. It lays it out what Mark did. The shame. He was a cause of a separation between Barnabas and Paul. But later on, Paul says, send him to me. He's profitable to me. Peter calls him my son. Paul calls him my fellow laborer. And God uses him to write one of the Gospels. Pretty good. He let that incident be the making of him, not the destroying of him. I won't bring again to you the story about Jim Bridger. Y'all have heard me tell it, but it's so true. Bridger let that instant become the making of him, not the destroying of him. The Lord Jesus told Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter let that thing be the start and a learning of something. And that's the thing. Listen, when you come to a setback or a failure, it can be the undoing of you and the destruction of you. Mm-hmm. But not because God meant it to be.
Right. But
because you allowed it to be.
Right.
Because you just quit. Mm-hmm. Keep going. Look to God. Learn from it. Stay humble. And never quit.
Right.
And what God is able to do is far above anything that we could think and imagine or whatever. Listen. It took a different turn for him. It took a different turn for him. He wasn't one of the ones that Paul said, my son of the faith, but Peter said, my son. And he became profitable to Paul, all because he didn't quit. All of us in here, but you young folks, please keep that in your heart and mind. Because if there comes a day that you just fail, and sometimes when you fail, more so than being upset about offending God, if you're not careful, you can be upset because your pride's hurt because you let you down more than you really feel like you let God down.
Amen.
We feel like it's like, I thought I was better than that. And we find out that we're nothing outside of the Lord.
Amen.
And it's the truth. Don't quit. Don't sulk. Don't point fingers. Manfully square up. Go softly and go faithfully.
Yes.
Forward on in the Lord. An instance in our lives can be the making of us, not the undoing of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for your servant, Mark. Father, Lord, you... Lord, thou art God, and Lord, you lay bare events in men's lives, as no doubt, Lord, ours is and will be laid bare before thee. And Father, here's Mark who, Lord, departed from the work, went back, didn't stay faithful with it. Oh, he wasn't called to it. It's his choice to make. But he suffered for it. His reputation suffered. He was a source of, Lord, a source in this case, dear God, of a split between brethren. But Father, to his credit, he didn't quit. And after some years went by, Lord, we see the things that you did in his life. And Father, help us, I pray, Father, to not let the lesson be lost upon us. Lord, help us to make an application with it if we need it in our lives. Or Lord, file it away if and when the day comes that we need the lesson from Mark's life, Lord, ourselves. Father, we thank you. And we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Pray you'll dismiss us with your blessings. Amen.